Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Why don't you take your Bible, take the Word of God, open it to Matthew chapter 6. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Matthew chapter 6 is going to be on page 811. If you're new to the Bible, you don't know where to start reading the Bible, I'm telling you, if you just read what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave this incredibly famous sermon one day on the side of a hill. I've been to that very spot where he preached that sermon on the Sea of Galilee. And in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, that's the recorded Sermon on the Mount. If you just read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 for a year, your life and your legacy would be totally different. If you did it, if you read it and then did it and lived what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. We're just going to talk about a very small portion from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 this morning. We're going to be in Matthew 6 verses 19 to 24 this morning. We're starting up our second of a three-part series in this sermon series that we're talking about the most important things. We're looking at some of the most important things that Jesus said to us that were recorded in the scriptures in this little series. And today, the thrust and the things that Jesus said, man, just kind of stop us in our tracks when we think about it. And some of you are already looking at what Jesus said and you're already getting ahead. That's great. Get ahead by reading God's word. That's a good thing to do. But man, there's some who would approach this sermon with a little bit of trepidation. And you're going, why so? Well, because we all know churches that always the only thing they ever talk about is money. And believe it or not, there are some churches who never talk about money. They never mention the M word from the pulpit. In both of those churches, on either end of the spectrum, really, I would consider, and I think the Lord would consider them to be unhealthy if they always talk about it or never talk about it. And it really may surprise you that when you read through the New Testament, there are 164 verses in just the New Testament that specifically use the word money. Most of the times when that word is used, it's in reference to or surrounded by a warning, warning us against materialism, the belief that money, that stuff, are the supreme and most important goals in our life, that they are the source of our joy and our security in our hope. 164 verses specifically say the word money in the New Testament. If you read throughout the whole Bible, Old and New Testament alike, over 2,500 verses deal with money. And we've talked here at Arapahoe Road before about how in the scripture it talks about how the love of money is actually something that can introduce evil into our lives. See if you remember this verse. If you haven't, it's a great one to memorize. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils." People who fall in love with stuff soon will be tempted to lie, to steal, to cheat, to do anything just so they can get a little bit more of it. The Bible teaches us that money can cause us to forget God. Look what Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9 has to say. It says, "Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that's needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." See, what that scripture is talking about is how money can, if we're not careful, and will, if we're not careful, replace God in our heart. faster than anything else. Why is that? It's because we're wired to love stuff. We're wired to want a little bit more. And if you yield to that love, then our luxuries in life soon will become our needs. And we'll forget God if we're not careful in our pursuit of more and more and more. You see, the scripture says that money can make you self-sufficient rather than God-dependent. Look at another scripture from 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to what?" Say that last word with me. To enjoy. Think about it with me for a minute. Why do you think Jesus taught that it's easier for a camel to go through the little opening on the end of a sewing needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven? Why do you think he taught about that? I think it's because he knew that people who have a whole lot of money seldom really see any need to depend on God. Money, stuff, it can and it does make us self-sufficient instead of God-dependent. And yes, the love of money causes even believers in Jesus to behave as functional atheists. There's one stat from the Bible that's always just amazed me, especially as somebody who preaches God's word week in and week out, or tries to, and it's this. 15% of everything that Jesus said relates to money. 15%. Can you believe that? Some of you are going, I don't believe that. Well, just read what Jesus said and see how much of it deals with money. Do you realize that if I preached 15% of my sermons on money, that's one out of every six sermons. One out of every six sermons would just deal with the subjects of money. So why so much talk from Jesus about money? Why all the warnings? I think it's kind of obvious, actually. I think it's because money and stuff and the desire for more, for the newer, for the bigger, for the better, for the faster, for the upgrade, can actually do quite a bit of harm to the children of God, to the people of God, to followers of Christ. It can do harm spiritually and financially and relationally in many other ways if we're not careful. And so this morning, I ask you, I invite you to examine just one of Jesus's many warnings on money. And I encourage you not just to listen to what Jesus said about this warning, but actually to begin to orient your life around it, obeying it, doing what Jesus actually said. I believe it's one of the most important things that we can do in our lives. I believe it's one of the most important things that Jesus said just by the sheer volume of words that Jesus spoke about it, taught about it, continuously warned about it. So if you haven't gotten there yet, Matthew chapter 6, turn in your Bibles or turn on your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24. Jesus is talking. He's talking about money. He's talking about treasure. He's talking about heaven. He says this in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in those first three verses that we just read, that Jesus spoke, verses 19 to 21, Jesus just gave us the very best financial advice we will ever receive. I mean, there is no financial consultant who ever will give you better counsel than what Jesus just said. Earning an MBA or becoming a CPA will not give you better money skills than just obeying the words that Jesus laid out there for us. This is the best financial advice you and I ever will receive. Look again in verse 20, where Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Underline that phrase there, that part of verse 20. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Any basketball fans in here? Anybody? Yeah. Every time I read that, I think of layup drill. Lay up. Lay up. My coach always said, pretend like there's a string to your elbow and your knee. When your elbow goes up, your knee goes up. Left side like this. It's called the George Mikan drill. If you just do this. Some of you are going, who? He was LeBron way before LeBron ever was LeBron. What does that mean to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? I think there's a great explanation from a man who actually was a former governor of the state of Texas. He also was a president of Baylor University a long, long time ago. His name is Pat Neff. Listen to what Pat Neff says about laying up treasure. He says, all my life I've heard preachers tell their congregations to lay up treasures in heaven, but none of them ever told me how to get my treasure into heaven. I had to figure it out for myself. The only way to get our treasures into heaven is to put them into something that is going to heaven. Cattle, land, houses, stocks, and bonds all have no life and are not going to heaven. Only men and women, boys and girls are going to heaven. Therefore, if I'm going to lay up for myself treasures in heaven, I've got to put them to work in the mighty task of redeeming souls that will be fit for heaven. Man, what an insight. What a word for us today. I love that. Laying up your treasure in heaven means you put your money into something that's going to heaven. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, that makes sense to me. Makes me think about what Jesus said over in Luke chapter 4, a great passage of scripture of some other things that Jesus said. Jesus in Luke chapter 4, the scene is Jesus standing up in his home church, his home synagogue in Nazareth. And as Jesus read from the scriptures on that day, Jesus was announcing some of those very things that are going to heaven. It's the very things that Jesus came to do, some of the most important things. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Jesus stands up in his church, in his synagogue in Nazareth, and says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor," going to heaven. "He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives," going to heaven. "Recovering of sight to the blind," going to heaven. "To set at liberty those who are oppressed," going to heaven. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus declared, these are some of the things that last. These are the things that matter. He was telling us that when we put our money into the ministries that minister to the poor and the lame and the prisoner and the oppressed, to love our neighbors, to bless the city through the ministries that proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are actually storing up, laying up treasures in heaven. That's putting your money into things that are going to heaven. Storing up treasure, laying up treasure in heaven. That's why here at Arapahoe Road, we invest in these kinds of ministries, these kinds of lives, and these kinds of partnerships that we invest in, because they enable us to build relationships, to help understand the needs of people so we can help them, so we can serve them, so we can bless them, so we can build relationships with them and point people to Jesus. And the treasure that's stored up for you isn't as much about dollars as it is about changed lives. What about you? Are you storing up, laying up treasure in heaven? Are you participating in the work that Jesus has called us to do? Or are you kind of just more of a spectator and a part of a church that's doing all that, but you're not really engaged there? Kids, draw me a picture this morning. Jesus keeps talking about laying up treasure in heaven. What do you think your treasure in heaven looks like? What do you think heaven looks like? What do you think Jesus looks like standing in heaven, surrounded by what you're storing there? What do you think heaven looks like? Draw me a picture this morning. Paint me a picture. Put it on my board out in the Home Life Center when we're finished this morning. I love the story that famous preacher George W. Truett, who's a longtime preacher and pastor at First Baptist Dallas many, many years ago, he tells this great story, or story is told about him, about how he once visited this really wealthy West Texas rancher. Raise your hand if you know a wealthy West Texas rancher. Anybody in here know a wealthy West Texas rancher? Some of you do. Pretty much one out of every three people that owned a ranch out in West Texas somehow became a wealthy West Texas rancher a long time ago when all this oil was discovered out there. And so George W. Truett visited one, and after they finished dinner, the rancher invited Dr. Truett to just walk out and look at his vast estate. And they walked out on this hillside near his home, and this West Texas rancher just proudly boasted, "Just look to the north as far as you can see. Dr. Truett, I own all that land. Look now to the south and to the east and to the west, just as far as you can see. Dr. Truett, I own all the land from the north, south, east, and west, as far as you can see. I own it all." As the story goes, there was a long pause. Dr. Truett simply pointed up to heaven and said, "How much do you own up there?" What a great question for us to ponder this morning. How much do you own up there? How much do you own up there? It's one of the most important things that we can think about and do according to what Jesus had to say. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." And doing so will do something to you on earth before you get to heaven. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you put your faith, hope, and trust in Him. If you do that while you're on earth, here's what happens. It makes you a manager and not an owner. Would you say that with me? It makes you a manager, not an owner. That's what Jesus was talking about there in verse 24. Look back what he said in verse 24. Very plainly, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Say this last part with me so we're all tracking together. Here's what Jesus said on three. One, two, three. You cannot serve God and money. See, most people just assume they control their money. But the truth is, for many, money controls you. Far from being the master of their money is the master of them. Jesus uses the word money, or some translations call it mammon. Mammon, it's an Aramaic word that means wealth, it means prosperity, it implies something in which someone places one's confidence. Now, most people claim, "Oh, God is my master." But the truth is, they really worship at the altar of stuff and more and newer and upgrades and faster. Anybody trade in their iPhone, whatever you had, for the new iPhone? Nobody went down. "You know, I've got a 6, but I really just kind of want to go old school. Give me the original. The slow kind. With no emoji graphics." No, we always upgrade. We want faster, newer, clearer, better phone, better images. Most of the people that we rub shoulders with each week place their confidence in their 401k to secure them in their retirement years, in their house to keep them safe at night from thieves and from the storms in life, their job to provide an extra stream of income. Most people really do place their confidence in their stuff if we just look at their lives. And in the process, without even realizing it, money and stuff and more becomes their master. Their master. Money is what oftentimes becomes the controlling force in a person's life. That's why right now, some people in this room, not everybody, some people in this room know there are 12 days until Black Friday. And right now, you're kind of creeping those toes underneath your seat there because I'm fixing to step on them. And you're orienting your whole Thanksgiving holiday around getting in line first, setting two alarms just in case one doesn't go off, making sure you're there to get the great price. I mean, the Black Friday sale price. Get the deals. Because some, not everybody, but some are sitting there going, "I've got to save it. And I've got to get there." And it's kind of a habit. It's kind of it's a tradition. It's a tradition. Come on. Hey, knock yourself out on Black Friday. Have a blast on Black Friday. Save money on Black Friday. Just be careful that Black Friday's not become your master. I think that's what Jesus is talking about at the root of what he's saying here. He's saying God and mammon, God and money, they're not employers, they're masters, they're owners. Each demand a single-minded devotion, and you will either be a servant of the Lord God Almighty, or you will be a servant to your stuff and the almighty dollar. By the way, both are not almighty. Some of you are kind of sitting there laughing at that image, going, I can't really picture myself just bowing down to my money, bowing down to my wallet, serving my money. It's not as crazy as you'd think. I mean, there's a little book called The Wealth Conundrum. I encourage you to read it by a guy named Ralph Dodera. He offers a helpful little quiz to help us know whether we serve our money or whether our money serves us. And we actually have a little copy of the quiz for you. It's on the end of your row there. Take that little quiz. Let's just take a quick little quiz here together, okay? Pass one down. Make sure everybody gets one. It's just a short quiz, okay? This isn't for a grade, okay? This is just a completion deal, okay? This isn't going to determine whether you get to heaven or not. There's copies on the end of your row. Take one, pass them down. Let's take this little quiz together for the next couple minutes. It's titled, Who's in Charge, Me or Money? Me or Money? So just put a little tick mark or an X on each one of these that apply to you. First one there, did I pick my career based on how much it paid? If you don't have that career yet, think your major. Think what you're thinking you're going to do. Did I pick my career based on how much it paid? Second one, must I buy things on sale, i.e. Black Friday? Number three, am I motivated by a free trip or a free sample? If you always sign up for the credit card every time you go to the game because somebody's going to give you a t-shirt or a free ball, you need to check that one, okay? Do I eat more food if someone else is paying for it? There's some grandpas in here going, yes. Do I ever buy something I don't need just because it's on sale? Don't rationalize with me that you're saving money, okay? Just answer the question. Look at all this money I saved. Is more money my goal? Do I fear being taken advantage of financially? Do I react to requests for money with indignation or anger? Do I have trouble spending money even when I have it? Ooh. Do I ever deduct a personal item as a business expense? That's a big one, isn't it, Bill Flowers? Yep, pretty big one. He's a CPA, that's why I ask him. Not because he's been doing it. Maybe he has. Maybe conviction is coming upon the Flowers household. Last one, am I using money or is money using me? Just look back over your answers. I mean, did this little quiz step on anyone's toes? Anyone here besides me have to answer yes to more than I would like to answer to? You're in church, don't lie. When you leave here, lie all you want, but when you're in here, don't lie, okay? I'm kidding. Don't ever lie. And get that on the record. Great heavenly deposition. See, if you've answered yes to more than you'd like, maybe money is more of a master over you than you realize. And you can begin to break free from that cruel master, and you're going, how do you do that? By what Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Have you already forgotten what Pat Neff said? The only way to get our treasures into heaven is to put them into something that's going to heaven. What does that mean? That means start investing your treasure in people and in the ministries that are going to heaven. I know what you're thinking right now. You're going, David, that means that I'd have to give away some of my hard-earned money. I might have to give away, if I'm going to do that, I might have to give away some of what I want to leave to my kids. And David, if I give away my money, I'm not going to be able to buy the bigger, the newer, the better, and the upgraded. True. But let me gently remind you of something that you may have already forgotten. If you believe the Bible, then it's not your money to begin with. You don't own your money. You are a manager, not an owner. God owns it all according to what the scripture says. I love how the book of Job speaks of this. In Job chapter 41, verse 11, God says, "Who has a claim against me that I must pay?" Anybody ever dealt with insurance people before and you're trying to get them to pay on the claim? Yes. God's going, "Who's got a claim against me that I must pay?" Say this next one with me. Everything under heaven belongs to me. You either believe the word of God or you don't. When you get a hold of the fact that God owns it all, you know what happens? It begins to make it much easier to give away money, to start laying up treasure in heaven. That becomes so much easier. You want to know why? Because it's easier to give away money that doesn't belong to you. That's why politicians keep running for re-election every year, because they're going to give away your money. They love giving away your money. And here's the coolest thing. God is inviting you to be a manager of His resources. He's inviting you to invest them in the stuff, in the things that He knows and that you know are going to heaven. He's telling you that when you give away money, you're actually laying up treasure for yourself in heaven. And in the process, you know what's really cool? What happens? You no longer become a master of your money, but you begin to make money serve you. You will truly become a manager and not an owner. Now, when we started this message, I asked you to do something. Not only listen to what Jesus had to say on this warning of money, but to actually do it. Obey it. Heed what He had to say and orient your life around it. Because Jesus clearly commands you and me, lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. And what I'm asking you to do is get started today. Get started today. You go, "How am I going to do that? We already gave our offering." That was strategic, by the way. I knew what I was preaching about this morning. Did you know that? And I knew if I wanted to, I could probably foster an emotional response that would cause you to tip God a little bit more than maybe you thought you were when you walked in. So this is going to have to be a conscious decision ex post facto. So what do we need to do? Number one is this. Move from owning to managing money. Would you say that with me? Move from owning to managing money. When you took that little quiz, a little money quiz, did you conclude that you serve money or money serves you? If you're the one who's serving money, what are you going to begin to do to break free? I suggest that you take some very real and concrete steps that you act on immediately, because the only way to break free is actually to give away resources. The Bible just sets the bottom baseline standard of obedience on that level called 10%. 10%. I challenge you to make a commitment on this day, today, to start giving away 10% of everything that God has entrusted to you to manage for Him. 10%. Second thing I invite you to do is this. Remember that you are a manager. Would you say that with me? Remember that you are a manager. You manage for God. You manage under His authority. You manage as He directs. You do what He says. And first, God tells you, invest 10% in His church. Write this down. You give to God through the church. Just jot that down. You give to God through the church. Can I just tell you that when I was a single man, I gave away thousands of dollars to God through the church. When Allison and I got married, dual income, we've given away tens of thousands of dollars to God through the church. Why? Because I want to be a follower of Christ. I don't want to just study and pray, as George said earlier. I want to give. I want to become all of who God wants me to be. I'll never be that if I don't truly become a manager of His resources. I just won't. Do what He says. Give to the Lord through the church and start with that 10% known as the tithe. You go, well, what do I do with the other 90%? Well, don't just go to the casinos. I'm going to double down here and pay that debt off. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That takes you down a bad road. Because remember, God owns it all. He wants to show you where to invest that other 90%. That's going to include like saving for some big purchases instead of just going into more debt. It's going to include getting out of current debt with the rest of that 90%, saving for retirement with the rest of that 90%, helping the needy with the rest of that 90%, providing for your family with the rest of that 90%. No, yeah, enjoying some of it along the way with the rest of that 90%. Being who God wants you to be. And as you do, you're going to find that you're beginning to lay up invaluable treasure in heaven. Every time you put something into the plate or give online or give anonymously to that need, to give to someone else in your family that's going through a hard time, to give to missions, you're laying up treasure in heaven. God knows. God knows. And if you believe that what Jesus says is true, then this course of action in your life will become one of the most important things that you do. And you will be following in the teachings of Jesus by the way that you manage the money that God entrusts to you. Third thing is this. Last thing we'll leave with this. Before you spend on Black Friday, lay up treasure on Gold Sunday. You go, I hadn't heard of Gold Sunday. What's Gold Sunday? We're declaring next Sunday's Gold Sunday. Because next Sunday is the Sunday before, take a guess, Black Friday. I'm going to ask George to come down here. And we've got gold envelopes just like this. Okay? Every person, I want every single person to get one. That means I want my kids to have one. I want you to have one. Mom, you to have one. Dad, I want every single person to have one of these. If you helped us with the offering this morning, would you come and help George begin to distribute these gold envelopes? There's a little place in there for you to put your name, a little place in there for you to put the amount next week, and any additional notes below. I can tell you right now, we're going to get paid, Lord willing, on Wednesday. That's the 15th, and the way our cycle runs, we get paid on the 1st and the 15th. I'm going to put my tithe check and Allison's tithe check in here. That's going to be a part of what we're going to give, okay? And I'm just going to label that on there, tithe, and whatever that amount is. Part of what we're going to give is going to go to the Partridges as they prepare to go and serve the Lord in church planting in Germany. We're going to write that on there. We may decide to put something else in here as we pray. And then next Sunday, when it's an opportunity to give our tithes and offerings, we're going to put this in the plate. And I invite you today and this week to pray, Lord, what kind of treasure are you leading me to lay up? What kind of treasure are you leading me to lay up? What can I give to you through the church? Maybe you already have a budget in mind for Black Friday and for Christmas. Have you factored in what you'll give to the Lord through the church? Perhaps this would cause you to sit down and have a budgeting conversation that you've needed to have with yourself for a long time, or that you and your spouse have never really had. You've just kind of always, I just kind of wing it. I just spin till I get nervous and then I stop. Had a premarital counseling conversation about that one time with someone. You want to know who it was? I won't tell you. But she lets me sleep next to her every night. We laugh about that now. I spin till I get scared and then I stop. We both bring positives and challenges to the relationship. I've got a laundry list. I'll share them with you someday. Or just go ask Allison. What would the Lord have you to do? Because whatever you put in here, you know what you're doing? You're not being manipulated. You're not being brainwashed. You're not being emotionally massaged. You're being obedient to what Jesus says is one of the most important things. And you'll see it again. Because Jesus never loses anything. And you'll be laying up for yourself treasure in heaven. Because whatever you give will be invested in men, women, boys, and girls. Why? Because that's what's going to heaven.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.